Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Jumping, making no feel something. You see my demon, I'm trying to keep it.
Bye. 9 years old, and he was getting a gun, he'd be grounded for life. Grounded for life. See, Republican Party, I know. Don't want to get political here, but Republican Party and the Democrats too is holding America hostage. You have 50 senators who won't do anything. I mean nothing. Why? Because the NRA is in everybody's pockets. Now you can dance all around you want to. You can make all these powerful words. But that's what it is. The NRA got you. Meanwhile, Mary Lucy, 8 years old, dead. Mario Rodriguez, 10 years old, dead. And folks, these are the ones that we know about. Okay? These are the ones that they're telling you about. Okay? Did you read the news about Berkeley? No. Did you read about the news at El Segundo? No. So if we go around El Segundo and Berkeley, what is it in Thumbug, Minnesota? Or Utah? Ohio, where guns are everywhere. See, this is the thing. You don't want to raise the age limit. You don't want to give any guys training, but yet you want to give teachers guns. Really? My mom and my dad were teachers. No, if y'all want guns, stop it. Here is Senator Eric Swalwell this last week.
19 kids are dead. 19 children are dead. And so to my Republican colleagues, I ask, who are you here for? Are you here for our kids, or are you here for the killers? Because if you were here for the kids, you would do all you could to protect the next school shooting that's about to happen. And we know it's going to happen in America. You would vote to raise the age on purchasing an assault rifle. You would vote to ban high-capacity magazines. You would vote to require safe storage. And you would vote to address ghost guns, which are ravaging communities across America. But if you're here for the killers, you would do everything to make it easier for the next school shooting to happen. And Mr. Jordan, to say we are trying to dramatically change the country, if trying to make sure that no more kids are put in the ground with a Superman coffin means dramatically change the country, guilty. That's why we're here. Kids are going in the ground today. And you call that trying to dramatically change the country? Why aren't you trying to dramatically change the number of dead kids going into the ground, Mr. Jordan? Who are you here for, the kids or the killers? My Republican colleagues are here for carnival games. They say it's about mental health. Okay, we try and fund mental health. They vote against it. They say it's about schools. We try and fund the schools, fund the teachers. They vote against it. They say it's about policing. $300 million in the American Rescue Plan for community policing. They all voted against it. And they don't want to listen to the police. If they listen to the police, they listen to the major cities' chiefs who have called for background checks, red flag laws, banning bump stocks, and banning high-capacity magazines. My favorite, it's about the family. We need to address the family issues in America. But we don't want to help feed a family. We're going to make it harder for kids to live on food stamps. We don't want to help a family learn. We're going to go after teachers in America. We don't want to help kids go to college. We don't want to give them jobs. We're going to vote against the infrastructure and jobs bill. And then they say that laws don't work. But they have no problem crafting laws to take away a woman's right to make her own health care decision. That law must work. They have no problem going after laws to ban drugs. There's plenty of laws on the books to ban drugs. But no, it's all about the person. Laws don't work when you have evil in our country. That's what they tell us. And then they tell us that we're in a country where you have violent video games, mental health problems, schools that can't be secured, and too many gun-free zones. And their solution to that is to put more of the most dangerous weapons into that mix. That's insane. They're also out of touch with the overwhelming majority of gun owners in America. An organization called 97% just put out a poll that said among gun owners, and they only polled gun owners, 86% support background checks, 76% support safe storage, 67% support red flag laws. Those are gun owners. So who are you here for? Our kids or the killers?
And that question remains. The Republican Party refuses to act. Why? Because they're lining their pockets. They're lining their pockets with money. And they won't say anything to not change the gun laws. Now, folks, I want to do an election at the end. I'm a history major, as are you graduate. The Illinois University graduate of Lukey. We're going to do a little history lesson here. 1965, 1967. The tobacco industry said, we don't do anything wrong. We don't kill people. People like to smoke. And they were dying in droves. Dying in thousands. My mother almost died of cancer. And the tobacco industry said, it's okay. But finally, America got smart. And they sued the tobacco industry. Now you can't buy tobacco on the news. You can't buy tobacco on the commercials. There's a reason for that. They got sued. Fast forward, 70s and 80s, the car companies told you they cannot put seatbelts in cars. It costs too much. Well, a couple in Buffalo, Ohio, said, no, we're not doing this. We're suing you. Carolina, New York, California, Illinois, all sued the car manufacturers. Guess what? You can't drive anywhere without buckling a seatbelt. Hello? So here we are. 2022. 19 people die in Texas. 10 more people die in Buffalo in the past 2 weeks. And we can't do anything about this? I don't believe it.
what you might call an ongoing problem. I mean, pick your decade, pick your state, pick your degree of notoriety or obscurity. It's the same thing over and over and over again from the far right in the United States. And it swings back and forth from terroristic violence and murder to electoral politics to fantasies about racial purity, to conspiracies about the Jews, to disgust for democracy, and a desire, sometimes an effort, to take and hold power by force of arms, instead of through our democratic force of government. It keeps coming up. This is a recurring thing. A justification and a call for violence based on this insane paranoiac fantasy that white people are an endangered species as long as there are non-white people around. And any change in the ratio of white people to other people is a sure sign that the global plot to eliminate the white race is approaching its goal. And so white people need to buy guns and stand up and take our country back and make it great again. Because otherwise, white people are being replaced. And this weekend, it was 10 people killed in Buffalo, almost all of them elderly African Americans. And the shooter decorated his gun with the N-word and the 14-word slogan. And he posted his online manifesto about how white people are so endangered, how they're being replaced. And in August 2019, it was the shooting that killed 23 people, mostly Latinos, at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. And in that case, that guy, too, posted his online manifesto about how white people are so endangered and how they're being replaced. And before that, it was April 2019, with the killing in the synagogue in Poway, California, where the killer also posted his online manifesto about how white people are so endangered, how they're being replaced. And before that, it was March 2019. It was the guy in Christchurch, New Zealand, who killed 51 people in two different mosques. And he posted his online manifesto about how white people are so endangered and how they're being replaced. And before that, it was October 2018. It was 11 people killed at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The shooter there posting all over right-wing social media sites about how white people are so endangered, about how they're being replaced. And before that, it was August 2017. Those very fine people the former president talked about marching with tiki torches at Charlottesville, Virginia, a show of force, a white male phalanx, shouting to the cameras as they marched about how white people are so endangered. How white people are being replaced. You will not replace us. Jews will not replace us. It is not a new concept. It's not even a new pretext, a new justification for violent racist terrorism. It has long been so. It is right now being newly popularized, newly mainstreamed by the biggest names in conservative media and even by the leadership of the Republican Party in Congress. But it is an old idea. It is an old and stupid idea. It is an old and stupid and dangerous idea. Old, stupid, and dangerous in equal measure. But now what do we do? Because there's a reason these white men keep killing black people and Jews and Latinos and Muslims in the largest numbers they can. And it is not just because they believe in this ideology and are inspired by it. They are. That's what's leading them to kill all these people. But beyond that, they keep doing this the way they're doing it. Because they're not only adherents of that ideology, they are evangelists for it as well. They want to spread this ideology to others. They want to make it famous. They want to make it popular. They want more white people to understand this concept and think this way and act like them because of it.
And if you don't believe it, all you have to do is look at the history books. 1928 to 1935. That's all you need to know. As an African American, as a Native American Indian, as a disabled person, we got a problem. The problem is other Americans won't stand up. Other Americans will say, enough, See, African Americans have been fighting this fight for centuries. Latino Americans have been fighting this fight for centuries. Native Americans have been fighting this fight since the beginning of the United States. For the first time, Caucasian women finally are seeing the fire that we saw centuries ago. White women are finally getting the torch on them. Now the question is, my white sisters, are you going to be with us? Because your white brothers don't care. It's obvious. When you elect a president that we had the last 4 years and are proud of doing so, that's a problem. In America, you know better because you've been through the fire. You've been through the storm of the 60s and 70s, so you know better. Let me tell you another historical note. Birmingham, Selma, Memphis, Florida, New Orleans. The reason why civil rights got through is because the world was watching. When those police officers put their hoses on those young men and women, the world saw that. And called Washington and said, what the hell are you doing? When that happened, all things changed. Because Paris, London, Berlin, was calling Washington, D.C. Russia, how dare you? They call Washington too. Beijing call Washington too. What are you doing? What are you doing? So within 3 years, black people got the right. It wasn't for TSA. Now the game has changed. Because now they're using TV for their purposes. For their agenda. They even had their own network. And it works. Because people turn it on and do what they gotta say, they keep on going, keep on moving. What are you doing? I want my brother Pat Freeman. Brother Pat, I want you to say a couple words. I'm a Buffalo 10.
May 14th will be forever a date in Buffalo, New York history in this nation. The names Celestine Cheney, Hayward Patterson, Ruth Whitfield, Roberta Drury, Geraldine Talley, Andre McNeil, Pearl Young, Aaron Salter Jr., Catherine Massey, and Marcus Morrison ignited a change in our community. Drug dealers stopped selling drugs. Troubling people stopped making trouble and decided to do good. Little did they know that this act of war against an innocent group of people in a community would change the scope of the landscape of this community forever. For now, we are determined to get things back on track here in Western New York. Elected officials will be held accountable. Opportunities must now be opened. We will demand that industrial racism be ended here, and all opportunities are given to those that want them and need them. For today, we have made up our minds that change has come to Western New York. We will return to the community and people that did not have a word for jail, did not have an old folks home because nobody ever went to them. On this day, we are determined in their names and in their sacrifice to make a difference. You didn't think this was going to happen when you attacked these innocent people in this community, that all organizations, all people, all churches, all spiritualities would now join together in the name of love to end hate forever in this country, in this community, as we stand together today. Make a difference in the name of their hearts, in the name of their sacrifice, in the name of their families. Let them know today that we will triumph and the return of greatness begin here in Western New York, beginning with their sacrifice and that sacred day, 2014. So here, at this place, as we gather,
pressure walker and half our people. Can't do it. When you're Republican, can't do it. Mr. Brooks from New York tried to kick them out. The guy, DJ Watts from Oklahoma, he tried to kick them out. And it is the day, folks. You have a Supreme Court justice whose wife tried to undermine our government. But yeah, do you hear anything about that? No. Nothing. Quiet. Church mouse. They should be in jail. But let Bo Biden do something. Let Hillary Clinton do something. You had to be fair. Be fair. We have president that broke over 350 laws in 4 years. You think he's going to jail? I doubt it. I'm done with the 45 minutes of political talk. I'd like to give a salute out to my boys in blue. I mean the boys on the street. I mean the boys in Madison Square Garden. The New York Rangers last night beat the Tampa Bay Lightning and take a commanding 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals as Gold Brother DeAndre Miller scored a first goal for the Rangers, tying the game. Great, great. I think it could be upset. It could be upset with the hockey upsets of the year. Meanwhile, the West Coast, the Colorado Avalanche, play the Edmonton Oilers tonight. In Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And this could be a survival mode for the Edmonton Oilers. And they don't win tonight. In Edmonton, Ontario. Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Goldberg's there had to step it up. Friday Night Lights. Daniel Kang has a spinal tumor as he will continue to play in the U.S. Open today, this weekend. The Las Vegas Raiders fired Brett Musburger as their broadcaster in Las Vegas Radio. Musburger is the biggest areas I was on there. Mainly baseball, the New York Mets last night. Going to the LA Dodgers. 6-1, a match of a badge of a busy gym by Taylor Anderson. Second straight loss by the Mets. The A's hosted above the Red Sox. As the Red Sox try to climb back into the AL East Conference race, Bogart homered in the first inning in the Boston 7-2 victory in the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. He was about yesterday, New Jersey Generals beat the Pittsburgh Maulers, putting the Maulers out of the playoffs as the Generals win their 7th game in a row. 29-18, and they got a strong hold on the second place playoff mark. Today, the New Orleans Breakers play the undefeated Birmingham. Undefeated Birmingham at noon today, Pacific time. WNBA last night. Dallas wins over the Storm, 68-51. Brianna Stewart gave 27 points. The first place Connecticut Sun finally beat the Mercury, 92-88. Jaquale Jones, 24 points in the victory. The Chicago Sky win 73-84. We can't go back in 24 points. The New York Liberty keep on winning, trying to keep up with the Connecticut Sun. And they beat the Washington Mystics 74-70. With Sabrina Ionescu, 24 points. And in the WNBA, it seems like the Eastern teams are stronger than the Western teams this year. In softball and baseball tournaments start this weekend. Baseball, Garmin State played East Carolina, and they played Coastal Carolina today in the major round. Missouri State lost to Oklahoma and will play Grand Canyon today at 11 a.m. So the baseball, NCAA baseball, is underway. Softball gets down to the final brackets. UCLA, Oklahoma, Texas. In bracket one, Oklahoma State, Florida, and Arizona in bracket two. Brave U put up a fight against the Oklahoma Sooners and lost. And then tried to beat the Minnesota Golden Gophers last week. Howard Bison played Mississippi State and Florida State last week in the elimination round. WTA. And this morning, Swiatek wins the 35th match over the young 18-year-old Coco Gauff. And Coco Gauff made a very distinct message. No more guns in America. Well, good luck with that. Kevin Na resigns with the PGA as he goes and plays for the Saudi League. Many more golfers will be leaving the PGA because the money is good. And the PGA could be in trouble as Kevin Na is the first sign of people jumping to flag on Memorial Day against the Phillies. The Giants win the game at 10-5-4. At the time, I said that Joe Girardi might be looking for a new job. I wasn't wrong, because by the end of the week, Joe Girardi was fired. He never had control of his team. And Joe on the film. I want people to know this. Wherever Bryce Harper has gone, the team has not won anything. So Bryce Harper, where is he now? He's in Philadelphia. Where the fuck is that? When Bryce Harper was in Washington, what did they do? When they traded Bryce Harper to the Phillies, they won the National League East title and won the World Series without Bryce Harper. So Bryce Harper got to look in the mirror and say, what in the world is going on here? Carl Grasso, Viking, and Carter quarterback Jeff Kelly, 25 years old. Speeding was the issue. On Tuesday, Joel Embiid had trouble in his surgeries and will be back for next season. Mr. Watson continues to have a better woodwork. And this is all, really, let's be real. This is all money grab by these ladies, and I get it. And Mr. Watson's should be more careful with what he did. But I want people to notice. Did you notice? And they always ask me to sign the contract. Wednesday, John Madden will cover a Madden Football 23 as a tribute to John Madden. The Ukraine soccer team beat Scotland on Wednesday and 1 minute away from the World Cup games. Kyle Murray went by defeating Conor Gam. And the issue is contract. The PGA tried to be a strong man and warned the players that if he went on a Saudi tour, he could not come back to the PGA tour. Well, we all know what happened with that. The U.S. men's soccer team win their first game on the World Cup tour, beating Morocco 3-0. Thursday, the third most running back in the league, Frank Gore, was there for their 1 day contract. Coco Grab, Albert Frater, as he signed the camera, no more gun violence. We'll be watching you, Coco. And Raphael Nadal wins the French Open as he reaches the 30th final in Italy. Now here's what I'm talking about with Jim Cott. Jim Cott is a Minnesota Twin pitcher. All brain. Anything that is funny. He was broadcasting the game against the New York Yankees. And he called New York Yankee pitcher Nestor Melander. What are you doing? What are you doing? Call somebody a Melander. You think it's cute because it rhymes. But women don't like that. So why use this word? A few years ago, Cott used the years ago when the Asian female golfing phenoms that got fired. This is what we're doing. All right, let's take it out here. Doing this
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you mean by the game a couple of days ago?
I think, you know, to sort of go back with your point, you basically had two coaches who coach from similar ways, and
yep.
you know, give the Celtics credit. They sort of beat Golden State at their own game. This was probably the first time. It's probably the first time with this regime where someone actually was able to shoot threes with them, because usually that's the deadly thing is where you get into a shooting contest with them, and then next thing you know your pants are being pulled down in public and you're saying you know what just happened, but I'm kind of surprised that I don't remember the actual makeup of the lineup, but I was kind of surprised Peyton Jr. wasn't in there to sort of combat that defensively.
Well, I think Peyton Jr. is still injured, because remember Peyton Jr. broke his elbow the first week of the first playoffs.
Yeah, he could still be. And plus, this is his first, you know, I mean, even though he's been there for a little bit, this was his first time in the finals. And maybe the fatigue, you know, maybe just the fatigue of going through this first long playoff run may have gotten to them. But, you know, that's the reason why it's a 7-game series. You know, put it this way. It's not, you know, terrible to lose the first game at home, but, you know, now you just got to, you know, now basically you've got to adjust. Because let's face it, because you've got two similar coaching styles, this is going to be pretty much a chess match. And so for now, you know, advantage Celtics. Or, you know, they use the old tennis term, advantage Celtics for game one. Now, you know, Kerr and the other players have to adjust a little bit. Let's put it this way. I don't see either team sort of blowing each other out, so to speak. But, you know, again, give the Celtics credit. When they got, you know, look, usually it's Golden State that the front end of one of those scoring avalanches. This was probably the first time, again, since this group has been in the finals, where they had somebody that matched their 3-point.
I went back and looked back on the two games they played back in a year, and when Golden State played in Boston, they blew Boston out. When Boston played Golden State, they blew Boston beat Golden State.
It is really strange
to see that, but that's why I went back and looked at that.
Well, and see, I think it plays more into the style, because here's the thing. When the Boston-Miami series started, my thing was, if the Celtics are going to win, then, you know, put it this way, if Miami was going to win that series, they had to dictate tempo. Now, early on in the series, they dictated it. But then, and it kept going back and forth, but for game seven, even though, you know, look, the Celtics pulled it out, and like, but it came down.
They got lucky because
but see, that's all a part of the playoffs. Because see, you know, for folks who aren't crazy about the NBA, especially in the playoffs, it becomes like, a football game in the sense of possession by possession by possession by possession. And the Boston-Miami series, especially Game 7, was a perfect example of that. And because everything we all know, once we get to the playoffs, everything becomes a half-court game. Ray Charles and Roy Orbison can call you up and tell you that because I don't say it to belittle. I'm just saying it's just the nature of it because, you know, like I've always said, I can tell the difference between an NBA regular season game and an NBA playoff game. And to a certain extent, you can do that with the NHL, and you can do that with the NHL too because you don't have guys blocking shots. And diving for loose balls or what have you. I mean, it's just, you know, it's always that heightened sense of urgency because of that whole, and especially now as the rounds get, you know, crazy. Like, put it this way. That first game in Colorado, you need to throw that one away because that one, that was more like a mid-season regular season game, but it also spoke to where both teams are because look, they are, you know, with all due respect to the Rangers and the Lightning, the Oilers and the Avalanche are probably the two most explosive scoring teams in all of hockey. So that was literally an immovable force versus another immovable force. Just like, okay, who's gonna get tired first? And basically, Edmonton sort of ran out of it. And it was interesting that the next night, it was a completely different game because Colorado, it was almost like Colorado said, enough of this. We are not going to get into a shootout because just like with game one, with the Celtics and Warriors. A shot here, a miss there, or what have you. And look, Edmonton had their chances late. Hell, they probably had their chances early in the first and third period.
I think the winner of the Colorado Edmonton series is going to be a Stanley Cup champion. I think it's going to be a champion.
You know, I see what you're saying, but see, also, you got to remember, this series is going to take a lot out of both of them. Tonight is key what happens in Edmonton, just like what's going to be key when the East goes to Tampa, because, you know, Tampa's down two, and it's like, so basically, this is their seed, you know, for Edmonton. And Tampa, their season is on the line tonight and tomorrow afternoon because they've backed themselves into a corner. I'm gonna go under the premise that we always do in the playoffs. The series doesn't start till the home team loses. Now, so far, Home team's cool right now. Now in the NBA, they've already, you know, they're already at that level. So tomorrow night we'll see that. But let me see what Tampa. Because see, look, Tampa comes back tomorrow night and opens up six or seven cans of whoop ass. and the same thing in Edmonton. It's a whole new situation. I'm gonna go into the premise. I think both series are gonna go seven. Personally, I still think series are gonna go seven.
Well, a couple of observations, and hi, everybody. Tony is right, it's rain on tempo. I can remember when the NBA was on CBS, and they used to get mad at Sonny Hill because Sonny Hill always talked about tempo and how the rhythm of the game would flow. And that game bust in Miami, the tempo was right on point with everybody going back and forth. And obviously one possession changed the whole game. When Miami got close and homeboy came down court and he was going to take a three-point shot and he missed, all of a sudden the time factor kicked in, the clock kicked in, and Miami loses. You know, and I got to tell you, rhythm is definitely on point when it comes to hockey. Now, I was up in Canada when Edmonton was playing Calgary in the Battle of Alberta. There were segments, 2-3 minute segments, where they were just going end to end, and they were just flying. Literally, I mean, McDavid, and ironically, we get to see arguably the two best players that aren't goalies in the league, and McDavid and that badass Nate MacKinnon. But they were flying. There's an expression, jumping your skates. That's exactly what they had right in the opening faceoff. Both teams had jumping their skates, and the action was end-to-end. What I really loved was how Edmonton went into the bag of the Legion of Doom, and they added Evander Kane to the line with Dreisaitl and McDavid. And they said, we're going to kill these cats with overkill on the first line. That's exactly what they did.
Think about this, guys. Game one in the Battle of Alberta and game one in the Western Conference Finals were basically the same. The only difference was Edmonton didn't come back and win that one. That was the difference. This time they fell short, and, I mean, they literally ran out of time before they could catch up. But, see, again, it takes its toll on you because, you know, we know it's the, you know, you're basically one potato chip away from the finals right now. And remember, Edmonton is sort of on borrowed time. I mean, I think people thought they would do okay, but I don't think people thought Edmonton would get this close to the Stanley Cup final.
Yes,
we knew they had that run in them because of Mike Smith.
The rotation in the first game, I am upset with everything because they give Kane rotation four times. What are y'all doing? What are y'all doing?
Well, you got to remember, Gary, you got to remember. Gary, you got to remember something. You know, Kane is Edmonton's Swiss Army knife right now. See, it's a big difference when they had set lines. Kane got put on the first line. They ended up winning. Now they took him off and they put Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on. You know, they know that Kane can do more than one or two things, and that's why he's there. He's the X factor. You know, nobody expected Kane to score over 25 goals in less than 3 months, but he did. And the coach is working what he has. Edmonton's problem is that Mike Smith is not as good a goaltender as the cat who's mining the net for Colorado. If anything, he's their biggest liability. Out of the four goaltenders that's left in this matchup, he's the worst. You know,
you're probably being kind, Mike. He's probably fifth in a four-team race at this point in time.
I agree. But he played his ass off where he needed to. He really did.
Exactly.
That Battle of Alberta, watching it in Canada, was totally different. The way they had everybody out in the town square with the Jumbotron going nuts when they scored. I was in a restaurant in Vancouver. And when Calgary scored, everybody cheered. You know, it was like that's the kind of atmosphere Canadian flavor brings to hockey. It's their culture. And everybody knows when it's a good goal, it's a good goal. Just like when the Knicks used to run a great play back in the day when they were doing it, they were like, great play. You know, didn't even matter if it was the Knicks. It was just like, it was good basketball. This was great hockey, and they were taking full advantage of it.
Mika, the manager, is that guy for real or what? Okay, I am amazed about what he does the past 2 weeks.
Zibanejad has always been a good player. You know, when a playoff situation comes, everybody gets to see who is out there and who has always been there, but we just started to notice him. You know, the Rangers, when Keandre Miller scored the first goal, it was like, oh, shit, here we go. And Ryan Reeves was there knocking people around. The Rangers are like, and I'm sorry, Tony.
The thing that makes the Rangers tough is that much, you know, in many ways they're similar to Edmonton and Colorado in the sense where they have a bunch of guys. They've got six or seven guys. And at least two of those guys on each of those lines can. I mean, even that Kiki Kako or Cuckoo Coco or Cuckoo for Coco Pop, whatever his name is. You know, he was one of their leading scorers, if I remember right, 2 years ago. Now he's been sort of relegated to behind the scenes, but because of his scoring prowess, it comes up in the playoffs, and that's what makes them scary. And look, if there's something about first time goalies in a Stanley Cup playoff, to me,
you got to read them.
I think excuse me. I thought someone else was already, or is that the Jennings Trophy that I'm thinking of? I forget. Because hockey's got so many damn awards now, I can't even keep up. But the thing is, think historically of how many first time goalies have had runs like this. Whether it's a Kenny Dryden or a Don Beaupre from years back.
Up in Canada, they're still talking about the kid from the Ding Ding Dallas, Ding Ding Stars, Ettinger. No, seriously, I watched that game, and he was unreal. Calgary was shaking their heads every time they came down, like, how the fuck are we going to get by this guy? And then Gaudreau caught him and scored from up top shelf in the corner. And everybody was, they were more relieved than anything else. But Ettinger had their number. This guy's for real. He's going to be around a long time.
We mentioned, you know, you talked about Quick a few years back when he had that first run. And remember when St. Louis won the thing with Billington. And again, this is what makes the Stanley Cup playoffs so fun, is that you literally can ride that hot goaltender that's basically falling on the seat of his hand. And see, look, think about it. Now, you know, most of the Tampa fans were saying, okay, they had a long layoff, we'll give you game one. But they jumped on that ass, like, what was it, 47 seconds in, game two?
You know what? They really were. And this Ranger team is admittedly more enjoyable to watch, although Richter played his ass off in that series in 94. It's much more enjoyable to watch. They've got youth. They've got a really great player on defense in Fox, just like they had with Brian Leetch back in the day.
But
with the brothers in there, they got some flavor.
It's funny because Messier basically said the same thing the other night, I guess in between periods, that he reminded him so much of Leetch, who was the Conn Smythe before. But I'm like you. I I will argue, you know, not that I will do anything nicely to say anything nicely about those red, white, and blue, you know what. But
the motherfuckers from
to this day, I will always think that Richter should have got Conn Smythe over Leach in 94. I mean, I get it, but again,
Tony, I have nightmares of that.
I must admit, I sicked off to watch that game seven. With that, and it was so funny because apparently there's a famous thing where the Daily News basically had two covers offset.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they basically, with one, they had you know curses over moving on to the finals.
That's
and
right.
then the other
mm-hmm.
one, and then the other one was if they lost, the curse, it was all black and big ass. Well, tight, you know, the curse continues, and
they were ready.
Yeah, the thing was, remember, that was just to get to the finals.
Yeah.
That was just to get to the finals. Because, see, you can make the argument, you know, you can make the argument, as good a team as the Canucks were that year, and remember, they forced the game seven, you could make the argument that, you know, like Gary's saying now, that the real Stanley Cup final was the Devils and the Rangers that year. But, you give Vancouver credit because they did push them to seven. But that's another reason why I'm like, I mean, everything, look, it does look like the two literally most exciting teams in all of hockey are playing in the Western Conference right now.
They mucked up. They really did. They really did muck up.
You know, I mean, you couldn't look. You're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting a Canadian team. You're getting a large market. You're getting the two-time defending champs, and a team that's basically who Colorado has been like everybody's. You know, they were. It's safe to say they were even as good as Tampa is. A lot of people thought Colorado, this was Colorado's time to do it this year. So,
and you got a gold brother there, too. Even though he's not black, he's East Indian. Nassim Kadri has been playing very well for Colorado in being a second fiddle to Nate MacKinnon.
Yeah. Hey, look, they had their highest first-round ratings ever. I think a lot of that had to do with Turner Sports and ESPN doing games. I think it definitely helped. You know, I sort of go over what Patrick said that, you know, when now that the NBA is in the finals, they may lose a few fans, but that being said, let's put it this way. If the Rangers get to the finals,
they're going to have some good, because
remember, ABC is doing both the NHL and
that's right.
And So, at this point in time right now, they're like a fat man at the circus at this point right now.
Well, all the noise they made about King Henrik, Shesterkin, let me make sure I say his name right, Shesterkin will be God if somehow the Rangers win the Stanley Cup.
A shooting?
No, thank God, no shooting. But last night in a major storm of Florida.
Oh, you mean a rainstorm?
Baltimore are playing the San Francisco Giants this weekend, right?
They'll be swimming. Send the first base.
It rained almost inch hour of rain that night.
19 inches. It was 19 inches they recorded after a while.
Okay.
That's a fucking, I mean.
And they had a baseball game that night.
Think about that.
God, they played
19
indoors.
Inches. But we know how tall a foot is, so we can imagine standing in a foot of water. 19 inches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
let me throw a fun fact at you guys.
It's still raining, Mike.
Well, let me throw in this fun fact for you guys. The first time a toilet bowl was ever shown on motion picture screen was Psycho in 1960 after the girl got when they stabbed the ass to cut to the toilet. But the first time global warming had ever been mentioned was in the 1956 classic Rodan, when how warm shit was, when the Beatles or whatever those things were eating motherfuckers in the mine, and then the big ass egg cracked open and Rodan was, there you go.
So the real question is, did Moses park his ark inside the dome or outside the dome last night? I guess
you know how much parking is inside. Please, are you kidding me?
So yes. They made his ass park outside then. Answers that question. But yeah, but you know that's you know, even for Florida, which it, I think isn't it like sort of written into the state manual that it has to rain at least a couple hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Gary,
I can only point out the view from where you used to live, where my used to live, and where I am right now in southern Jersey. The whole atmosphere in the area has changed. Our area is now semi-tropical. And the reason I say that is because of this precipitation. We don't get normal, what you would call rainstorms anymore. We get deluges. They come down hard, 15 minutes to a half hour, and then it clears up, and maybe it depends on the time of day, the sun will come out. So it should never happen. Mm-hmm.
I remember playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing came about it. I don't know where. I go, okay, go inside.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
It goes.
That's
yep.
right. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's weird. Well, put it this way, again, we all need to go drive down to Tennessee and beat the shit out of Al Gore, I suppose.
Inconvenient truth, my ass.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
really. But yeah,
I got this. This week in El Cerrito, my hometown, it's in California, and in Berkeley, California, this week. A nine-year-old boy has done a walking up the street to go to the El Cerrito school, which is 3 blocks away from my house. This week, right? In Berkeley, California, a guy with an AK-47 was getting ready to go to the Berkeley High School this week, right?
I heard about one in South. Unfortunately, I heard about one in South Carolina where a little 8-year-old black girl was killed, unfortunately, because of the backfire. And see, here's the thing again: the guy has had a previous record of he had previous arrest, had a previous gun charge. And he was still allowed to walk the street and see.
Okay. What gives me? Look, we have 50 people in the D.C. who are holding America hostage.
Yeah, we know that, but guys, that doesn't change. There's going to be lots of news blackouts, based on what you just said. Because when I came back from Canada, dad just had something happen in Blaine, Washington, like I mentioned on Wednesday's show. There was a lockdown in the schools there because they thought somebody was going to be a shooter. Now, that just tells you how fucked up and how sick
the eight-year-old doing in the first place?
Look, they already know. They already know. This, I can't call it a prop because it's too dangerous to be a prop. But I got to say that somebody is making sure that every day or every other day there's an incident or some sort of drama involving a gun or the threat of a gun somewhere. You know, you got pins in the maps now from Buffalo to Uvalde to the Church of South Carolina. I mean, think about it. This is no accident. And just a sidebar, this, the operator, the 911 operator, who fucked up in Buffalo. Now, they're under siege because that bitch should be fired. And I know it's going to be hard to do it because it's a union job. And I speak as a proud union guy that, yeah, you know, you don't get me, I'm part of a union. However, unions should not allow to protect incompetence. You know, there's a difference between being someone in a union like District 37 and somebody like in a musician's union. In a musician's union, if you can't fucking play, you can't be in a union anymore.
Pretty much.
If you don't have a level of professionalism, you shouldn't be in a union as well. There are some things that, as a union worker, you are covenant to hold up to. And this person did not do that. If she thought there was something funky, she thought it was something laughable, she should have taken it a lot more seriously than hanging up on somebody. The lady was listening because they were in danger, for fuck's sakes.
And now I'm going to go under the premise that all of those calls are recorded.
Yep.
Shouldn't, because I know one of the jobs that I have, you know, when we make calls, whatever, everything is recorded and what have you. Now, isn't there some sort of a protocol? I mean, at the very least, because I've actually had to, like, write up reprimands for CSR. Like, make a long story short, one of the jobs I do, I work in non-emergency medical transportation. Mm-hmm. And there's a certain protocol that CSRs must take in regards to taking calls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these guys get reprimanded. Now, again, we don't know if she may have been reprimanded for primary, but the fact that, I mean, I'm not saying she cost all of those people their lives, but with the extenuating circumstances here, I mean, she basically, you know, she was, I mean, for lack of a better word, you know, she should be looked upon in a sense, maybe not as an accomplice, but something along those at the very least, criminal negligence. Mm-hmm. At the very least, and again,
negligence,
I'm not a lawyer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm no lawyer. I don't try to play one on TV, radio, or the internet. But common damn sense has got to kick in here somewhere.
That's
because
exactly
somebody calls you an emergency. Is it hello? They would be calling you in the first place.
And to be fair, you do get some folks that call 911 for stupid stuff.
Right.
I understand that. But let's be honest. 70, 80, 90% of the calls, people are in peril. And the one time you want to get inside your feelings because you think somebody is doing something punked. Come on. If you've been at that job long enough, you've got to know the difference between someone in distress and
that's
someone
no joke.
Pulling
you
your
have
leg.
To you have to come on the line. You have to come on the line. Gary, you have to come on the line with the impression that somebody is in I won't say danger, but you have to think that there's a tense situation and you have to act accordingly. I did temporary work for a couple of weeks with those same people that say, I've fallen, I can't get up. It's no joke. It's like, when they call, you say, hey, somebody's on the way or whatever the hell is going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No joke. Yeah. You know, as you question, that woman did not ask the right question.
No, she did not.
And see, and this is beyond the death of public public service.
Yes.
Because
mm-hmm.
that's a 2-hour show in and of itself. How customer service.
Yeah.
Has just gone to hell in a handbasket. But
mm-hmm.
you know, we're talking. I mean, but I'm serious though. We're talking people's lives here. I mean,
that's right.
I don't know how much more. I mean, yes, there's certain levels or what have you. But especially with something like this, there has to be.
Because most of these kids were Latino, there's a racism there too. I know it's a stretch, but
nine of the ten kids
that passed away were Latinos. Both of the teachers weren't Latino. So I was like, okay, here we go.
The sad thing is incompetence comes in all colors. And see, cowardness also comes in all colors. But see, here's the thing. And I saw it on a political cartoon, it was actually a meme. It showed a SWAT team. It said on the left picture was showing a SWAT team. It says going in for someone with $200 of weed.
Yeah.
And then it had the Evaldi thing on the right going in, you know, a mass shooter. And you had the guys basically standing around like they were, you know, huddling up for the next play in the third quarter.
Exactly.
And look, and see now. What you're getting a lot of in instances of, you know, this is a hard job and they go through stress and all the other stuff. And I get that, but here's the thing. You know what job you got into, right? Now if you're going after an unarmed black man and all of a sudden you know, you're bold and bad, but you got a white guy that's got a little bit more firearm than you, then all of a sudden
That's why I question. They keep doing this over and over again.
Because see, even though in both instances with Buffalo and with Evaldi, Texas, the shooter allegedly killed by law enforcement, at least that's what they're telling us. I we've seen in other instances where most of these guys have been whose lives were spared, and meanwhile unarmed black men and black women get killed, like they're gonna get S&H green stamps for
a tragedy.
That's always the only thing, black and brown. That's the one common theme, is that we're always the tragic accident, but then when it comes to the quote-unquote white killers, well, we need to understand him, we need to, I mean, where does it end? I mean,
he's stressed, or he's had a bad day, or he's depressed. Now, you hit it on the head last week when you were talking about Christopher Dorner. They said, y'all got to get this black ass.
They basically made a Kill Dorner posse from the get-go.
Pretty much.
Now, if you think about it, he was one of their own, and they
So you can imagine
how they think about us.
If he was a homeboy, they definitely want to dust him. He was an ex-cop, and they were like, got to get his black ass. And that's exactly what they did. They incinerated him. They firebombed his ass.
When did it start?
I wish I knew. It's even gone to the point now where even if somebody from Congress or somebody from the House got killed or whatever, I think they'd still find a way to whether. I mean, you know, it's funny. You would have thought that after JFK, that might have did. And you got to remember the gun law. I mean, what did it cost Oswald to get that gun? What, $12?
That's right. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Less
think
than
about
25
that.
Bucks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Think about that. That was 1963.
And that's if he shot him, which is always in question.
Well, yeah, that's another 2 to 3. That's another 2 hour story in and of itself, too.
Oh, but yeah.
If you go into the front, whoever shot JFK, basically, you know, the gun laws then were like kindergarten compared to now.
Yep.
Hey, and you have two senators right now. I won't name who they are.
Name them. Enough of the hiding.
Mr. Cruz and Texas.
Well, his punk ass is 80 months
old.
Oh, yeah.
And this thing is, when you have a lobby who influences political endings. Now, we know 5 years ago, 10 years ago,
Columbine.
I'm tired.
Well, first you got to remember, Columbine was 99. So that's over 20 years now that this shit's been going on. And the gun lobby has been fattening wallets for a long time. We made the point months ago about how McConnell, his worth increased by over 800%. 800% above his $174,000 a year plus medical benefits because he had been in bed with the gun lobby for so long. You got senators like Joni Ernst out of Iowa who's gained almost $4 million in funds from them. There's a handful of people who made a lot of money from gun money, and they haven't been shy about it either.
It's blood money. It's blood money is what it is.
And see
what makes it worse is that between the lobbyist. And then also, you know, now is it me? Is it a coincidence that once again that you had the NRA had a convention in Texas days afterwards, and they're spewing this? Because see, look.
They didn't cancel. They just kept going. They doubled down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they keep telling the same old lie, you know, Charlton Heston, the Burns will burn in hell as far as I'm concerned with that whole from my cold dead hands thing. Mm-hmm. See, that's what's the thing. They're still telling the same lies, and people are still believing them because remember,
that's right.
They told you back in the day, Nixon's trying to get your guns, Ford's trying to get your guns.
They did say that
Carter's
shit.
Trying to get your guns. You know, Bush is trying to get your guns. You still got your fucking guns 85 presidents later.
Yeah.
But nobody.
What are you talking about here?
I'm gonna repeat this. Go, Caravan, listen to me very carefully here. There is no need in any city in America today for an AK-47. The AK-47 is a weapon of war. Okay? That's what it is. You're telling me I have the right to carry an AK? You're out of your freaking mind.
And see, end of the day, guys, that's probably, you know, that's one of the reasons why this thing, I won't say may never come to an end. You got to remember, that whole right to bear arms thing, that's been there from, I mean, how do you over supersede that? Because they're always going to fall back on that.
That's exactly
where,
right.
Says, okay, see, this is where they won't tell you this. In that, you read it carefully, what does it say? It says a militia. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say individuals.
Sure. But see again, because of the lobby and what have you, it's, you know, because they're able to push the bullshit. Because again,
that's right.
The whole thing is about, you know, the right. You know, look, they'll beat you to death. The right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna that thing gets as misinterpreted as the Bible. You got hate groups that will take a passage in the Bible to justify their wickedness. It's the same thing with the Constitution. They're gonna take something out of it. Make sure that it's done out of continent. Make sure that they get the line in it that stresses what they want to get out of it.
Yeah,
because you know, the whole thing of semantics, we all know how that's done. That's the basic thing. And look, are we ever going to get into a situation where they're going to say we cannot be able to bear arms? No.
Yes.
So the sad thing is, and it's funny, because you know, if you ever see the movie, and I'm sure you guys have, about Bowling for Columbine, there's a thing in there where they always talk about, you know, it's always about white folks getting scared, but shooting folks.
Yep.
They're scared, but they're fucking reloading.
Yep, that's right.
It's a real shame. It's a shame because and when we were kids.
That we grew up. The only time we really saw guns was if we were watching Gunsmoke or Adam 12 or you know, the Virginian or whatever the hell, you know, whatever back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, like you said, you have children. And let me stress that. Children are aware and whatever of guns. I mean, I saw something on, I think it was either YouTube or where there was this gun show, and it was this maybe 9 or 10 year old kid, showing this woman how he loads up his gun.
That's exactly right.
That is just okay. Here's the thing: if you want to do this, okay. Then train them to do, go to school and learn how to do this. I have a license. You have to require a license. Me, 20
proficiency is there.
It was accurate.
It makes too much sense, guy. That's why they won't do it. And that's exactly why the gun lobby will keep running roughshod over this whole mindset until the next tragedy and somebody else sticks another pin on another piece on the country map somewhere. They are intent on doing this, but they are also intent, my personal opinion, on getting rid of as many black folks as possible.
It's no
mystery that all of a sudden replacement theory has come into vogue. We've been saying for years that the world is getting darker. There's not a fucking thing you can do about it. Well, they're trying to do a fucking thing about it. They're trying to eliminate and cull the herds in as many different places as possible. They can give you whatever back-ass explanations they want to, but this is about we have to try to systematically take out as many black people as we possibly can.
This is no different from Hitler's Final Solution, guys.
Thank you.
Except the difference is it's us.
Mm-hmm. Undercover, too. Driving undercover, we know it's right there under the face.
No joke.
Well, but see, we got to remember also they're coming and they go to strategic place because see, my whole thing was and I have much more respect for the Klan if they held a meeting in Compton. Held a meeting in Newark, or held a meeting in D.C. But see, remember, even they know there's certain places that they ain't gonna go. Because look, once a coward, always a coward. Doesn't matter how big your gun is. If you got
that
a yellow streak, it doesn't matter.
That goes into I wish a motherfucker would category.
Oh, yeah. pretty much. Because again, it's always they go to places where they have just enough black folks so that it whatever. I mean, here's the thing: you don't want to live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be aware. That's all.
Yeah.
And look, that fine line between being aware and being paranoid gets crossed every other day. And it's a very, very tough situation because, see, again, one of my biggest things is when I keep hearing them trying to normalize being at the wrong place at the wrong time. When the hell is going to the supermarket or going to school or going to church being at the wrong place at the wrong time?
Exactly. Like they're trying to make it your fault that you're living your life and doing normal shit.
When they're going to tell you, versus drive an hour and a half to do what you had to do. Okay? Drive 1 hour, 2 hours to get there to do it. Okay? Come on now.
They know, Gary, that's why I say they know what they're doing. Here you had situations where at least three people, and I include that little shit Rittenhouse in it, drove hundreds of miles to do what they had to do and get out. And in Rittenhouse's case, he got over like a fat rat in a cheese factory because he cried like a little bitch on the stand, telling him, I didn't know. Yeah, like, I didn't know I'd get arrested for that shit. That's what he was really saying. No. Let there be no doubt about this. We are under siege, and we are at war.
It's war.
The lone nut theory is just a lone nut theory in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it will not change until somebody of prominent stature gets ripped off. And once this person of prominent stature, I mean a couple of senators, a couple of congressmen, or a couple of presidential candidates.
Well, no, even that won't happen. Remember when Gabby Griffith
started? If that happened today, beginning that happens today, it'd be a very different attitude.
Well, I agree there, but what I'm saying, what you were saying was, if it happened to a politician, then this would happen. But remember when Gabby Giffords was shot? You know, they bust
but
the cap
Gabby
in her.
But Gabby Giffords was not, God bless her, but she was not anybody of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, guys. But see, here's the thing, guys. Let's just say somebody takes out Ted Cruz and Mitch McConnell. You know what the first thing they'll say is, see, this is why we have to have guns. This is why we have these guns.
That'll
be the first thing on the mind. They will use the very same propaganda to, you know, you got to remember how they played this. They played this, you know, they played this to the entire hilt. And the fact that the powers that be have sort of allowed them to play this incredible mind manipulation game, it's you know, I wish there was a way that it could put it away. I wouldn't miss a wink of sleep if they took out Ted and the Turtle. Wouldn't bother me one bit. Matter of fact, I think I just snore louder. Just on GPS.
Exactly. That's right.
But it's gonna take a lot of hard work and effort and what have you. And the sad thing is, and I don't mean to be morbid, there's probably going to be more bloodshed along the way. Yeah, because they look at it as collateral damage. They look at it as collateral damage. They don't care. It's you know, and see, when you're talking all those things like that, you are basically talking about war.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna wrap this up today. I got one thing, Tony. I got to see the New York Mets when they get out of San Francisco.
And they haven't been right since, and I blame you.
I like to see, but they were stinky that day.
Look. One of the things I tried to not so much warn folks was, look, it's a long season. I'm not saying they were doing it with mirrors or what have you, but it's the sort of thing where, let's put it this way. I was very sad to see Dom Smith get sent down because, you know, to be fair, they, you know, once they got rid of Cano, they said, okay.
Yeah.
And then as things go on, they were always going to get rid of the lesser of the player. Now, the crazy thing was the worst thing that happened to Dom was Plummer, because Plummer came in, you know, hitting home runs and what have you, and they just basically went with the hot guy. Now, I see, personally, I think, you know, I hope I'm wrong. I think he's played his last game in orange and blue. I think they're trying to make sure that he puts up some numbers down in AAA so they can go and get themselves another pitcher. Who's that?
Marte.
You know, he started off hot, and now, you know, he's sort of, you know, coming back down to earth a little bit. Same thing sort of happening with the third baseman as well. Look, they're gonna go through stretches where they look like the 27 Yankees, and then they're gonna go through stretches where they look like the 62 Mets. So.
Both of
the league championship series.
I think it's exactly waiting to happen.
Well, put it this way. The Angels have sort of, you know, the Angels have been struggling, and this was even before they came east. So, I don't know. We'll see. Because, see, basically right now, and remember, the trade deadline's earlier this year. As a matter of fact, the trading deadline is actually approaching. And see, even as great as the Yankees have played, they still could use another pitch. I mean, look. As good as Nelson Cortez has pitched, you really think that how long is he going to be able to sustain that? You know, you hope that he does before, if you're a Yankee fan. But it's, again, this is why it's a marathon and not a sprint.
We'll see.
The thing is, basically the Angels really didn't add anything to this team. You know, they sort of stood. You know, while other teams went out and sort of went for it, they sort of stood pat, and they didn't really add. I mean, even Texas went out and added some pitching. The Angels basically came back with Ohtani and for lack of a better word. There are certain teams that are going to hit the shit out of the ball, but until they get their pitching staff squared away, I'm looking right at you, Philly. You're going to have the same problem because look.
I was not surprised that they fired Joe Girardi.
Here's the thing. Girardi, of course, the greatest Italian-American ball player to ever play for the Yankees, but that's another story. But what was he going to do without that, he was going to go out there and pitch himself in the bullpen. He was like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest there.
That's right.
So, everywhere Bryce Harper had gone, Bryce Harper is like the human destroyer.
But Gary, to be fair, Bryce Harper for all the death and destruction Bryce Harper may inflict, that Philly bullpen, if you want to call somebody a coach killer, anybody that comes out of that damn Philly bullpen is a coach killer.
You got that right.
Bryce was in Washington D.C. for all years.
Don't put it on Gary. At least they did. I know this is a terrible copper. They got there. Philly hasn't even gotten there yet, and you can make the argument that they've got more firepower. I mean, look, when they went out and got Schwarber and the kid from Detroit, basically they were like, ooh. What an incredible lineup. And, that's all well and good. Now, I'm not even going to mention the fact that both of them basically are like Michael Jackson, where they wear a glove on one hand and do absolutely nothing. But Prisway, you know who's the first place in the Central? AL Central?
Milwaukee. No, that's good.
Milwaukee. Why is Milwaukee in first place? Pitching. Minnesota in first place in the AL Central.
Yeah,
why are they in first place? Pitching. Why are the Dodgers doing what they're doing? Say it with me.
But you know what? We got to remember something. Bryce Harper
is not the problem. You know, the Phillies bullpen, just like Tony said, they're like used toilet paper. There's nothing that gives them fiber and allows them to wipe anything clean. They're damaged no matter what they do. Philly paid the price for his whiteness. And allow me to elaborate. Even growing up, we remember Philly was one of the last clubs to have black ball players. They hated the fact that they had to have black ball players. They reveled in the fact that they had a coach who hated black ball players in Ben Chapman. And then when they got a legitimate black star in Richie Dick Allen, they had problems with that. And the only reason they tolerated Tony Gonzalez and Tony Taylor is because they were both Latino players who just happened to be dark-skinned Latino players. Philly has always had issues with that. Now,
I was growing up a Philly fan. Your parents should be sued for child abuse for allowing you to be a Philly fan during that period of time.
That's exactly right, and I didn't change my grade until one
happened. My dad refused to go to Carrie Mac. I'm not going to Carrie Mac.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him.
I
don't
blame him.
I was a kid. I didn't understand what he was talking about.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
The Phillies race problem never really went away. Remember, in 76, they picked up ball players like Bake McBride, Gary Maddox, Gary Matthews, Dave Cash, and they made they eventually turned that into a World Series champion in 80. But it wasn't without some drama. They always talk about Tug McGraw being their savior, or Warren Brewster, or any other white player. They never gave the black players any credit. Even now, after they won in 2008, you know, Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins. Exactly, those are the keys. He was the big piece. Rollins was their captain. Even then, they have problems with it because as soon as Ryan Howard got that contract, y'all gave that nigga too much money, and all of a sudden,
Now
that we got into Bryce Harper, nobody said, well, you gave this motherfucker $300-something million. No. Nobody said he's making too much money. Nobody said you overpaid for him. All they did say was he's a white guy who's really maybe not that good, but Philly paid for him because they desperately needed a white star. They could live with Allen Iverson. They could live with Allen Iverson being the sixth star. They could even live with other guys being side stars like Wayne Simmons in Philly and other players. But the star must be white.
Sure. It's interesting. In Boston, you know, they always talked about the curse of the Bambino. But
yep.
There was a certain Hall of Fame pitcher who began his career with the Phillies, and for whatever reason, automatically you think Carlton, right, or whatever. But see, the guy that everybody forgets is a nice Canadian fellow by the name of Ferguson Jenkins, who began his career with the Phillies. And for whatever reason, wound up getting traded to the Cubs. I don't remember if it was Cream of Wheat or Quiston Quake that they got in the trade for Ferguson Jenkins.
Yeah.
But that's got to be right up there with, you know, Ernie.
If you had told the operator that they had traded Ferguson Jenkins, she would have said, I'll call the police immediately. That was stealing.
Put it this way. That's right up there with Ernie Broglio
and some 2 day old greens, the Lou Brock. That's right up there with Mill Pappas and some fine Corinthian leather for Frank Robinson.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And Nolan Ryan for Jim Fregosi and some used toilet paper.
Oh,
you know,
please,
man, that's a great subject by itself. The ridiculous trades that were made that turned into a fiasco for front officers. I agree wholeheartedly on every one of those things.
Tom Seaver going to Cincinnati. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah. We're all, you know, although I was a Steve Henderson fan, but yeah, I mean, you know, when you're giving up Tom Seaver, you figure like you were getting a little bit more, but
yeah,
you know, that's put this way. That's another dark day of my youth that I mm-hmm. still have to come to grips with, I guess.
No,
but
shit.
Yeah, it's you know, and again, no one's trying to say that Joe Girardi is the second coming of Miller Huggins or Stu Miller for that matter. But still, not even Gord himself could be able to do anything with that team, until they get that bullpen squared away. And the thing about it is, Aaron Nola, and oh god, this is terrible. The kid that they got from the Mets, who's been tremendous for them. Those are two great front end starters.
Yeah,
but as we invoke the Butt Sisters for the 100 million mm-hmm. time, until they do something about the back end of that rotation, they're always going to have problems.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. they're always going to have problems. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sadly, I don't think either one of them guys are going to finish their career in Philly because I don't think they're going to. I don't think their hearts can take it.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, what's
you
know?
What you got for Sunday night, man? What you got Sunday night for the musical mind dream?
Sunday night, we are actually going to go back to the tournament. Our financial situation and technical situations have been solved, so our music will be back online as it should be, and we're going to go to the Midwest. You're going to hear the Temptations versus the Originals, and you'll hear some other great matchups as well.
Now, Mike, are you guys still in the first round, or
yes.
are you? Oh, okay,
yeah,
thank you.
I know the first
round of last year's tournament just ended about an hour ago, so I'm just trying to figure out, you know.
We're in the first round. So, yeah. Get ready for some Mo Bacon. Yes, indeed.
Oh, okay.
That's 9 o'clock
mm-hmm.
tomorrow, Eastern.
Oh, you know you're going up against the finals tomorrow, so.
I know, but somehow we shall endure. And let's go, Rangers! Clap, 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 clap.
I'm just gonna watch. I'm gonna be neutral like Sweden.
That's Sweden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, Tony, what you got?
Even though she lost, congratulations to
Coco getting her first
in what I'm hoping is a long list.
Serena's
Grand Slam
influence
finals.
Continues.
But,
yes.
But it's good.
Hey, did you notice how the American media played that moment of a 35-35?
You know what's more bothersome is that they focused more on the men's final. I mean,
that's
here
right.
You got an American player in the final I'm like the mother in Cooley High. I'm tired.
Okay.
Damn. Mm-hmm. But you know, I would not be surprised if the Dodgers put the broom to the Metropolitans, because hey, pitching, you know, good pitching is whatever. But they're gonna. But see, I'm glad that they have to go through some adversity now. So now we're gonna see just how good, you know, this team is, because now they get the Padres right afterwards, and then they get a chance to go say hello to Knucklehead Thor and the Angels on next weekend.
Right. Well, they had a rough time with the Dodgers this weekend. They had a rough time with the Dodgers, man.
But you know what? Hey, can't play the Phillies in the can't play the Phillies in the Marlins all the time. Phillies in the Nationals all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we got to come back in this week. They won't back
down.
They won't back down.
Yes,
indeed. Yeah, hopefully the Penguin will have learned his freaking lesson by then, but, you know, who knows?
Speaking of bats, I finally saw the Batman. It was long as shit, but the story moved. It was pretty good, actually.
It was good. So it was very, very good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I enjoyed it. And you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. You literally... You got to bring a couple of lunches, because that thing goes on for you. But again, it plays into the whole thing, and I'm anxious to see. I think they've already started the sequel.
I wish they would have taken the Court of Owls segment from Gotham and turn that into a movie, because
it still may, because see, right now they're saying it's going to be two, but as we saw with the Christopher Nolan one, they did a third, so it could still possibly happen. And
that's
see,
true.
And again, you know, you us knowing the Batman story the way we do, the Legion of the Court of Owls. Are a huge part of his early story.
They are. So I would love to see them make a movie with that line, that storyline.
Are you guys getting theater? Because out here in theater to be closed at the right. A movie theater is closed at the right.
I'm not supposed. Well, I want, you know, like, Mike, you watched it off the Fire Stick, I guess, right?
Yes.
Yeah, same here. See, me and my brother, like one Sunday, me and my brother just said, we're going to watch this thing. And we wound up doing it. And, you know, put it this way, I don't know how the movie industry makes money now, at least because, like, the last movie I physically went to go see, and I actually got tricked into seeing it, was Queen and Slim. And
oh, my God.
All I'll say is I'll never get that hour and a half back again in my life. I'll just leave it at that. Matter of fact, even worse, the last one, even before then, was The Dark Knight.
IMAX doesn't make it great, especially when the bats come out of the cave and shit. So yeah.
Well, look. Between Fire Sticks and all this other stuff now, I mean, I don't know, you know, put it this way. I saw something on someone asked a friend of mine, hey, are you going to go see the new, what movie was it? Oh, are you going to go see the new Elvis movie? And I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait for it to come out.
Exactly.
I was never
going to
see Elvis.
You got that
well,
right.
Now, again, this is like, another movie. So, I mean, now I guess the big thing here is that Tom Hanks is playing Sheriff Parker.
Yeah.
So.
Colonel Parker. Yeah.
Colonel Parker. Sheriff, Colonel, you know, Brigadier, either one.
I'm a little concerned because we saw what Hollywood did to James Brown. Now, in part, James is coming out to himself, but they focus specifically. They started the movie talking about how he got mad at some woman borrowing his toilet paper to take his shit. I mean, out of all of the shit that James Brown did, you're going to start the movie there.
Yeah.
The brothers
I know I sound like a dead horse when I say this, but that was one of the reasons why I stayed away from 42 for the longest, because
I agree.
In my heart I knew it was going to be the Jackie Robinson story as told by Branch Rickey.
That's right. I felt the same way about Race once they broke down Jesse Owens. I'm like, oh, you're fucking kidding me. We know Avery Brundage was a racist piece of shit. Why are you focusing on this? And then they made sure to remind everybody that, well, yeah, you can't get in this way, Mr. Owens. You have to use the service entrance. Yeah. You know, that's where if a brother was making that movie, Jesse should have told him to kiss his black ass. But we know that's what they do. The movie industry is just as evil a tool of white supremacy as anything that is done in this society. And we sometimes have to be able to look through it, around it, and dissect it so that we can take what we want out of it. But we better remember, when they make something like that, it's never flattering for us. Never.
Well, I think the weekend that Glory gave out,
mm-hmm.
and right, the day after Glory gave out, what go out next?
Yep.
Neighbor. Like, okay.
Well, there's a reason why Steven Spielberg can do Red Tails, but they'll never let Spike do a story about the Holocaust.
You better believe that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
That is the boring. You're making a movie about the Holocaust. Ach, no fucking way the sponsor should be doing this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And see, but see, a smarter man than all of us has said several times, you know, this is why we got to tell our own stories. Especially now, when we have prominent people that are doing stuff, like I'm actually started watching something on Showtime where a Viola Davis. It's a miniseries called The First Ladies, and it portrays the lives of Michelle Obama, Betty Ford, and Eleanor Roosevelt. Now, Viola Davis plays Michelle Obama. I'm about to say she's played Betty Ford, so I had to stop myself in mid-sentence there. She's one of the executive producers on
right.
there as well. So, again, there's enough to see back in the day. I'll take that back. We've always had folks in the industry. But they've always been muted, or they've always had their message distorted. You know, before there was Spike Lee, there was Gordon Parks, and before Gordon Parks, there was Oscar Michaud, and before and so on and so on. They've always been there, but it's never been they've never been given the same opportunities. Now.
True.
There are more opportunities. There's more. And see, to be quite honest, and not to go into a too long of a rant, because I know Darren's got it here, some of the best movies that are out there now don't come from Hollywood. They come from Netflix. They come from Showtime.
Yep.
They come from cable. They come from a lot of these pay channels. Some of the movies that are, best movies, best shows. I mean,
and the industry begins to understand.
See, what's so funny is if you go back in the day, television, if a big time actor was forced to sort of do television, it was considered an insult because but see, now again, television has whether it's pay television or what have you, that's where your best to me. That's where some of your best movies, some of your best stuff It's being done.
I agree. And from the time Batman the Animated Series came on, all of a sudden, actors and actresses started getting hit to the fact that, shit, I could do voiceovers. And I can not only get paid, but can you imagine somebody like Arlene Sorkin, who's just basically a pair of tits, all of a sudden, hi, Mr. J. And she's Harley, and she's noted because all of a sudden she's got a major role. But she can get paid for doing, and shit, if Mark Hamill hadn't been Luke Skywalker, he damn sure would be the Joker because he captured that, and it's his. Everybody knows he's the Joker now, or at least some people do.
Matter of fact, you know, Kevin Conroy is just as much known as Batman as Adam West, as Christian Bale, as Michael Keaton, and all the other, you know, 75 other guys that have played the role now. And the thing about Harley Quinn, that was made from the animated series. That was not done from Bill Finger or Bob.
That's right. Yeah. She made her role part of her voice. And again, brothers is getting paid. Roscoe Lee Brown became the Kingpin in Spider-Man. Arthur Burkhart, a black Shakespearean actor, he became Destro in G.I. Joe. I mean, you got Spawn.
Mike, can you go anywhere in the United States without hearing Keith David's voice somewhere?
Exactly. And, of course, Scatman Crothers is Hong Kong Fui. I mean, it sounds pedestrian, but brothers were getting paid. And we like getting paid. That's a good thing. We like that shit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And twice on Sundays. So, yeah. It's, you know, the opportunities are there. They actually have always been there, but even more so now because of the way the medium has gone. I mean, my first introduction to Batman was the TV show, but I had always read the comic. But see, now I've watched pretty much every incarnation. I stay away from the Lego movie, so I do have some
Lego. The Lego movie was fun. I was
7 years old. I would get every Saturday morning.
Oh man! Back
and
in the day,
and before
every
game was
God.
Over, I read every single one of them. Every game was over.
That was my Friday evenings, waiting for my brothers and sisters coming from the club.
You get your two bucks from dad or whatever on a Friday.
Yeah.
This was when as we date ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well. I'm not gonna tell you how I had to do it to get the $2, but that's another story. But $2 and comics back then were like 12 cents. Man,
that's
please.
Right. You kidding me? You feast
right,
my
comments.
I buy something on Friday. They didn't see me till Monday. All right, Gary.
See you, Gary. Bye.
Thank you.
You know, it's 199.
All right. I'll see you guys next week.